We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Tuesday, December 17th. Last podcast before we're getting into Christmas. Great time of the year. Beautifully wonderful spring weather out there today in College Station.
Not bad.
But it will cool down tomorrow, a little rain. And I'll get into the Christmas forecast in a little bit. But I'm Rob White, Fighting Texas Aggie Class of 2014.
And I am Roy May, a dog-sitting human being, Fighting Texas Aggie Class of 2015.
Yeah,
we're good right now. If you watch this, you might see Dixie hop in with no invitation, I might add. Oh, crap, she knows her name. All right, not saying that anymore. Fight 15 Red Ass Podcast. We got a little bit of talk about in the past. We got a lot to talk about coming up, and we got some questions. And it is the Christmas season, and I am Clark Griswold. So,
absolutely. And obviously very excited for this time of year. It's one of my favorite times of the year, just in terms of getting to spend some time with family. You know, the travel aspect, obviously not always the most fun part of it, but something I'm pretty much used to at this point. You know, we're going up to Lubbock. We're ending up in New Mexico. That's just the way things are. We've done that every year. And it's
well, but the people make the travel worth it. You know, it's yeah. Like, I don't know if you guys have been watching enough television like I have, because I'm just like looking for Christmas, you know, whatever. But Jack Daniels has a commercial. They made a Christmas tree out of, you know, the barrels. And so it's not about what's under the tree. It's about the people that's around it. And I think, Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. But when it comes to Christmas celebration, it really is about the people around it. And so if you're fortunate enough to, I hope you can spend the holiday season, or at least part of it with friends and family, and understand that, like, and I don't want to sound like a total cheese dick, and I know this will, but the reality is the gifts that we have in life are far greater than any gift we're going to have wrapped underneath the tree or in a bag. If you're a bag person, I'm a 50-50 guy. It just depends on what it is.
Exactly.
But I hope you have an absolutely wonderful Christmas. If for some reason you're in Bryan College Station and you have nowhere to go, I'm going to invite you over to my house for Christmas. Doesn't mean I'll have gifts, but like I'm happy to invite you over. You'll probably go down to spring and we'll eat food. So just when you can find it, does maybe it's not always family. You know, maybe you move to a new city, state, and you don't have the money to go home. But it doesn't mean you have to be alone for the holidays, because this is a tough time for a lot of people.
But I
think when you talk, and look, again, we don't get into a lot of stuff, but I will say this. This is a charitable season, all right? And it has to be, it needs to be, and we should want it to be.
Yeah.
And so if you don't have any place to be for Christmas, I'm telling you, please send me a DM. I'm not kidding. All right. That's something I learned in the Army, where younger soldiers, whether they were good or bad with their finances, going home was just a lot, you know? And maybe they didn't even have the leave or vacation. Vacation. Didn't have the vacation to do it. But it's important to just be around others in the holidays. So yeah, if you need it for some reason, my DMs are wide open. All right.
Yeah.
With that said, it is Christmas. I did basically all but throw out my back putting up the Christmas lights this year, because I decided to add something to it, which was a poor call on my part. I decided to line my yard. So if anybody's curious, it takes 272 stakes to line my yard with Christmas lights. Mm-hmm. And it turns out the Christmas stakes are a lot lower than my body is to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of bending at the back, squatting, lunges. I was trying to mix them all up because it was miserable and terrible. And I got to be honest, it looks great.
Hey, as long as it looks good, you know.
Worth it.
Hey, it's the process is always the fun part, but the end result is what you come to enjoy
It
on
is.
these
It's
projects.
beautiful. It looks great. I'm in Southwood Valley. You might see it if you drive around. I'm not going to give you my address for any weirdos,
No,
but
but I'll make it a point to go drive by at some point, take a peek, could be fun.
it's not bad. I had forgotten about my I literally have like a white picket fence ish kind of like 4 posts long, but I forgot to put the lights up on it, and I got them up yesterday, so now I have completed. Oh, and we've also moved away from inflatables. I'm all about blow molds, like the old school. So every year, those are going to get worse and worse, or better and better, depending on how you look at that.
It's all about perspective.
Well, it's my yard, it's my perspective, so it's better.
Right.
All right, let's get to the Army Navy game. And if we spend more than 45 seconds on this, I'm logging off.
All right, basically, long story short, my only statement was going to be Army, what happened? That's pretty much the end of it. I don't
Yeah,
know.
no, they just shit the bed. I've got nothing. My only concern, and I talked about this when I was on the fan show, was that coming off a conference championship, which was huge, right? How do
Yeah.
you go from playing a conference championship and still having another game literally against your biggest rival?
Yeah.
And it just Army looked like Dookie. That's all there is to it. Next.
And it, yeah, it's just an unfortunate deal, especially when they can hold that. It's like, yeah, you win the conference, but anyway, moving on.
Yeah, no, you lost the most important game of the year. But I will say, Army, Texas A&M, no result on any field of strife, any friendly field of strife, any of them will ever stop me from supporting and loving them.
Exactly.
I'm gonna like, yeah, you and me, right? I'm an Aggie, no matter what the football team does. I'm a retired Army guy, and even though I didn't graduate from West Point by any means, they represent us for at least one day a year. And so sucks, but again, it's just football. Doesn't make me want to jump on a ship and swab the poop deck.
No need to be a midshipman when you are
Yeah,
a
no reason to be
badass
a
Army
no
boy.
reason to be a sailor when you can be a paratrooper. Just throwing that out there.
Just throwing it out there.
All right.
Yes. So, plenty going on. Basketball's in full swing. We got playoffs coming up this week. So,
Oh, bro. I'll say when you talk about Aggie basketball, right? And we're talking about quad one and quad two wins. That's what I'm talking about. I don't know if you're talking about the NBA, because if you're talking about the NBA,
oh, hell no. We don't talk NBA on this podcast. When have we ever talked NBA?
I mean, it exists, so there you go.
That's there. Yeah, it's a thing.
I thought the preseason schedule and the wins, right? The quad one, quad twos, because it looks like the SEC, it doesn't just look like the SEC is going to be the best basketball conference in the nation this year. And you know how these things roll, right? Once you get to, like, you know, we were getting there and we were getting there, and now we're there. Does all of a sudden the ACC and the Big Ten take a back seat to the SEC in basketball as well, to include Tobacco Road, which Duke, North Carolina is one of the greatest rivalries. Outside of sport, like basketball, Duke, North Carolina is one of the greatest rivalries in all of sport. I don't care what you think, I'm right. So just talk to a fence post guy.
I mean, you're not wrong at all.
But in the Big Ten, because of their expansion, there has been some interesting stuff, because you know Maryland's a good program, and then in the Big 12 for a while, at Kansas, and this, but we're dude, SEC basketball is something else this year. To the point where they're projecting you could go 7-9 in conference and make the tournament.
Let's just look at the conference as a whole right now. I'm just looking at the ranked teams. I mean, number one overall is Tennessee. Number two overall, Auburn. Number four is Kentucky. Number six is Alabama. We have jumped all. Oh, Florida is number seven. We've jumped all the way up to 12 after this past week. You have Oklahoma at 14. Ole
We're
Miss.
ranked, bro, we are ranked 12th in the nation,
Yeah.
and we're the sixth highest rated program. But
It's looking like baseball. right
Well,
now.
yeah, and well, but hopefully we don't eat our own too much. But here's and we won't go like super into this, but I watched that Purdue game start to finish. And yet again, that's two in a row. Two hostile environments that were supposed to be neutrals, right?
Right.
Fort Worth with Lubbock, Indianapolis with Purdue. Come on, dog.
Yeah. I mean,
Like that's like playing Notre Dame in North Bend. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it's a borderline home game, absolutely. I mean, it'd be no different than us playing in Houston against somebody else from out of state.
Hostile environment based on ticket sales. And that's two in a row that they were able to pull off, which were I thought fantastic wins. And the whole, Tech didn't have their top score. I don't care. Sometimes their teams won't have their top score. They won't have their top rebounder. This is how basketball works. Did you play multiple games in a week, get over it, get used to your, just deal with it.
Right.
But what I heard while watching the game against Purdue was a national narrative, because this was a prime CBS slot, right?
Was.
And I heard the announcers who they weren't pro Purdue, but it's easy for announcers to like with the crowd and the team, like kind of fall into being a little bit more Purdue based. They had to, and I'm not saying like, well, I want to say choke it down, but like they had to start giving A&M their props. So all of a sudden, and after the win, you saw big time college basketball analysts, social media, wherever you're at, right? X, and it doesn't matter. All of a sudden, giving props to a Buzz Williams team that is deserved.
Yeah.
They deserve all the props, and Buzz deserves all the props. Look, this season could go off the rails and everybody could be like, fire Buzz. But I said this on the fan show, watching a basketball live thread on Tech Sags is way more entertaining because they almost can't get out the fire Buzz, post before they go back and be like, greatest coach ever.
Right. There's
Yeah,
it's a roller coaster.
because the action is, it's just back and forth and back and forth. At least in football, you have a timeout every four plays to be like, well, Elko, but man, and what's hilarious is like the super naysayers and from our own fan base, because currently there aren't a lot of naysayers from a national narrative, and lest we forget, the national narrative is what drives seeding. You can say it does, you can say it doesn't, but the reality, it does, right?
Yeah, no, the media drives it, and it drives it in every sport. I mean, if you look at football, if you look at basketball, you look at baseball, you look at anything across college sports, perception is everything. And if the national narrative is looking at a team and is pumping up that team, getting the love for that team, that's going to really help you on the backside with the voters. It's just a fact of life. Reality is,
You're human. The
well, I
voters
mean,
are human.
right, and
Or
if
excuse me, the committees.
the committees. I mean, if we're talking, we're being completely objective. Coaches' polls are always, I think, a little more true to form, just because coaches, I mean, they're the ones that play the game. They're the ones that are in and around it. They can see it most of the time. The media, on the other hand, there's biases there, absolutely. And yeah, sure, there's biases among coaches, but
Well,
I find there's more bias amongst media than coaches. That's just my opinion.
I think it's sport to sport. So I think the coaches poll in college football holds a little bit more weight.
Sure.
I think the coaches poll in basketball, when you're asking somebody to rank 120 teams,
That's tough.
I think it's an assistant that's doing it. I don't think it's the coach at all. But coaches poll in college football, they're looking at this many teams, whereas college basketball, they're having to look at like this many teams.
I get that.
So I think early season coaches polls in basketball are less accurate.
Right. I wasn't talking about the accuracy of the poll. I'm just simply talking about the fact that which poll tends to hold more weight, which is that media poll a lot of
No,
the time.
at the end of the season, the AP media poll
Yeah.
holds all the weight. But the
Yep.
problem that I see with college football, because in basketball, again, like I said, you have enough results on a weekly basis where you can actually start changing your opinion. College football, I think, has a really hard time letting go of the preseason AP media poll.
Sure, absolutely. That's very true.
And And I think the problem with that is it just drives all the way through the season. Like, dude, what are we talking about? Like, look back at who was ranked and where are they? Like, where are they now? Like, what did you actually know in college? And you only get, one sample size a week in football. And not every sample size is the same. Whereas in college basketball, bro, you got two games a week, and we're about to get into conference play. But before then, we got two games in a week, and it forces it, like it almost kind of flips a 180 on them saying, well, I thought they were really good. Well, now you have enough games before conference starts for you to tell me who's actually good. Well, what if, because you play one game a week in football and you're like, well, we lost to Notre Dame and Notre Dame lost to NIU. We suck. I mean, maybe that's not the best example, but Notre Dame's in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, I mean, Notre Dame's a damn fine team, and we'll get into them here in a little bit,
Yeah,
but
but I'm contrasting football and basketball.
right.
They had 12 games. Aggie basketball is going to have 12 games before we hit conference play.
I mean, we're already at 11.
Yeah. So again, there's more data, which is why I think the basketball polls were more accurate. Not to mention, I think what's the bracketology guy? That's not Destor. Lenardi.
Lenardi.
Yeah, Lenardi. His bracketology. That guy hits a hell of a lot more than he misses.
Yeah.
And so when you start to see him, even this early in the year, it, like when he comes out with a preseason, you just whatever guy.
Doesn't mean anything. Yeah.
But this is a guy that bases his entire business, like Mel Kiper, right?
Yeah.
Bases his entire business on what his eyes see. And currently, what Joe Lunardi's eyes see are we're a three seed, all right?
I
So
saw
you got to
that.
believe in this team and don't get down if we go 500 or a game or two in conference. SEC basketball, it is going to be fun as shit to watch this year.
Yeah, no, the entirety of what we're seeing right now is really, really impressive across the league. I mean, everybody has looked outstanding at the top. And I love, well, even in the middle range of the teams, when you look at a team like us, people are saying, well, A&M's number 6 or 7 in the conference right now. And even so, I mean, what? We just took down Purdue. We just took down Tech. We've been cruising along, take down Ohio State. We've been putting together a nice little resume here early.
Those are some big wins. And I remember when we were going back to the Ohio State game, we talked about we don't know what Ohio State's going to be this year, but Ohio State's a good program, right?
They are.
We don't know what Texas Tech is going to be, but that's a really good program because Beard has built it up, right? Purdue's a really good program right the F now.
Right. And they have been for a while.
And we won an all but away game. I thought we looked good. I'm super excited about Aggie basketball. We will get in that. Into that in the new year.
Right. Got a couple of games to close out the non-conference slate here on the 20th and 28th, both at home. You got Houston Christian coming in town and Abilene Christian.
Look, you
Take care of
have
your
done
business.
all you have to do, like win by one. I don't care. Just you have done so much work in the off season preseason. Well, shit, they didn't, obviously in the off season,
Oh, yeah.
but in the preseason, both scheduling, because it's great to schedule them. If you lose, it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
But holy crap, when you have a senior guard in the tournament, man, I'm telling you. So we'll get into basketball as the calendar turns because there's
Sure.
still some American football to be played.
There is.
I have one question for you, and
Okay.
then we'll kind of move on to our picks.
All right.
Did you have a problem with how the bracket shook out?
Personally, not really. Looking at it here, in particular, I know the big question mark for a lot of people was really the only major question mark was going to be SMU versus Alabama. And if you look at Alabama's wins, sure. I mean, yeah, they had some good wins.
That's my biggest problem. Oh no, it's not Alabama's three losses. Right, yeah, I know you hold up three. Yeah, Alabama's three losses. You know what my biggest problem was?
What was?
If we're talking about what's important heading into the postseason, don't we talk about those who are playing the best? So I'm going to tell you right now, neither of them really should have gotten in. I mean, there's an SMU thing you can talk about, but look, SMU went out and did all they could do, right? They did like a sign job minus beating Clemson, but they did everything else. If I had to argue between the 12 seed and Alabama, then I'm an idiot. If I argue between the 12 seed and South Carolina, who I thought was playing the best football by the end of the year in
Right.
the SEC, I put South Carolina above Alabama.
Sure, I would say South
Yeah.
Carolina was playing the best ball, no question. But
I'm not crazy, right?
no, out of the three of them,
Yeah.
I'd say you're absolutely right. I'm not saying you're wrong. But yeah, as far as like the rest, I mean, the way that the bracket panned out, though, I mean, honestly, I don't have an issue with it as a whole. I think overall, everything lined out pretty much the way it was supposed to. I don't hate the idea of like your top four conference winners. No, I was really all those big conference winners being in there. But I think the other thing to consider going forward is maybe not necessarily guaranteeing them a slot in the top four. So, namely, looking at Arizona State as an example, right? Just to
Well, but I don't have a problem with Arizona State because I think Scadaboo was a deserved Heisman finalist.
Sure.
That dude is creepy good.
No, he's very
Well,
good.
actually, not creepy good. He's frightening. How about that?
Yeah, he's
Would
very good.
you want to try and tackle him in the open field?
No.
Would you want to even play flag football against that guy?
No.
Yeah, not so much. Now, oh my gosh, this is gonna be a long one because we got to get in the Heisman too. But my biggest thing is, where do I start? So I'm a 16 team playoff guy, and
Yeah.
I'm not saying because Alabama or South Carolina got left off, but I'll tell you why. And you were talking about, like, do you necessarily deserve a bye? Here's my approach.
Okay.
Nobody gets a bye.
I agree with
If
that.
you go to 16 teams, you haven't extended the amount of weeks that you're already putting what we'll call pressure on student athletes, as I continue to air quote everything. But it's the same amount of weeks. You get a couple more games on campus. Nobody gets a bye. A bye doesn't help anybody because you can get rusty, you can get hurt in practice. They'll play football, and if you get hurt on the field, then that's football, right? I mean, I think that's fair. And all you have to do is expand it to 16. And this isn't because I think Alabama played themselves out of it. But what I'm saying is, this isn't a who got left out, who got in. This is a no buys, no buys. This is not the NFL. And I know that we've moved to that model so much, but I want to put some sort of stop guard. Be like, you know what? We're going to do a 16 team playoff. Full-blown bracket. We're going to kind of play like this, like one quarter of the NCAA men's bracket. No play-ins, by the way. That
Yeah, none of that.
can't ever get to that. Plus, because making them play an extra game is crap. I think byes are garbage. I'm sorry, this dog just like walked in, and I'm dog sitting, by the way. She's the cutest rat terrier mix thing ever, but Dixie's apparently she's had enough for the day. But she's still adorable. But I'm a firm believer in the 16 team playoff, not because I don't think it waters it down. You don't water down a product when you put more product on the field. And that's my thought behind it. I don't care how you seed them. If you want to stick with the top four conference championships relative to rankings or the top four seeds, that's fine. They've earned home games, and I have no problem with that. And you're at the 16 seed. Sorry, dog. You're lucky to be in, and you're going to go to the one. You're going to go to Oregon. You're going to play in Eugene in what might be some of the most miserable weather you've ever experienced in your entire life.
Let's talk about what that top 16 would have looked like this year, real quick, for 1 second. So if you've
Sure.
got, so you got Oregon, Georgia, Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Tennessee, Indiana, Boise,
No. Hold on.
SMU.
I'm still okay with the top four conference.
I don't have an issue with the top four. I'm just getting into what those teams were ranked. So we're sitting here with number 9 Boise State, number 10 SMU, number 11 Alabama, number 12 Arizona State, Number 13, Miami. Number 14, Ole Miss. Number 15, South Carolina. Number 16, Clemson. And frankly, after that, if you look at 17, 18, 19, 20, you've got BYU, who did not play in their championship game. You have Iowa State, who lost their championship game. You got Missouri, who did not make a championship game. And you have Illinois at 20, who did not make a championship game. So I think the top 16 is a healthy metric for that. I really do.
But here's where I'm okay with meshing the two. The Power Four conference championships or champions by their ranking should be the top four seeding, and then you fill the rest in. That I'm okay with. If you win your conference championship, you're the top four ranked.
Okay, so I would
And
say.
so again, there's some bumping that has to happen in there. But I like that the P4 conference champions are ranked 1 to 4. I do.
One that did not this time around was obviously Boise State. They're ranked three, but that would instead, in this case, be Clemson who would jump up to that spot. But I don't hate the model as a whole. I don't. I think
Yeah,
the
well, and no offense to Boise State, but and you have a dude that had a legitimate cause for Heisman, but
Oh, yeah. No
like,
doubt he did.
but yeah, we'll get into the Heisman here in a second. But the reality is, you're Power Four, you're not. All right. Who did Boise State beat? Effing nobody. All right. So you won your conference, but who'd you beat?
I get that. I
So
get that.
I'm a P4, 1 to 4.
Yeah.
Like I kind of like that. But it has to be the P4, set it in, and then you seed everybody else after that.
And
Everybody plays first week, everybody plays second week. Like, that's my thing.
I love the stipulation also with this current model that Notre Dame would never be a top four team ever. They could be 12 and 0 and not make the top four because they would not have won a conference. And I'm way okay with that.
And yeah, if Santa wants to put that in my stocking, good Lord.
That's
Yeah,
fair.
no, I just look, join a conference or keep playing the service academies and blah, blah, F and blah. And we all think Notre Dame's great. And we'll get into our picks later. But could there be a more overrated playoff team than Notre Dame?
We'll see. That's a fact of life. We will see because they'll actually play it on the field. What a novel thought. Speaking of which, how's about we go ahead and get into those playoff picks here in just a second since it is that week.
Well, now,
Set it
speaking of
up.
this, you want to know the last time, what year were you born?
91.
Rob and I are close in class, but again, remember that I'm old.
I was born 91.
All right. So you've never seen Notre Dame win a national championship.
80 what?
88.
8 was their last one? Yeah,
So
no.
why are we still kissing their ass?
You know why? They have a national fan base and their own TV deal with NBC. Oh, was it
In
NBC?
DC,
Yeah, they're locked in. They're a national pastime for
they're
a
shoved
good
down our
chunk of the
throat.
population.
They're shoved down our throat, beating Army, beating Navy, beating Georgia Tech, and beating a shitty USC team.
They're
I
blue
can't.
blood, man.
Yeah,
It's
no.
so good. College football's better when Notre Dame's good.
College football is better when Notre Dame is wiped off the face of the planet. All right. Actually,
Hope.
so this is actually a random sidebar. I didn't tell you about this. So my dad sent me an ESPN article, which I thought was really well done, relative to SMU, the only team to truly get the death penalty, right? Which will never happen again. I mean, good, look, if Penn State and Joe Paterno didn't get the death penalty, nobody's getting the death penalty, right?
No.
But man, what a comeback.
Oh, incredible. I mean, what they've been able to accomplish as a team is incredible, no doubt.
But those of us that live in the state of Texas understand the money in SMUs. It's not that surprising.
It's not, and you're going to
It's
see
just
that.
allowed.
Well, and you're going to see that with all of these teams so long as NIL is going to be just ripping and roaring as it is. But I have a feeling we will see that get reined in within the next few seasons as they. I think it's going to have to, or people are going to start walking away from the sport. I think that's just a fact of life, man. I mean,
Well, they're.
it's literally going to turn into a bidding war for like, okay, well, top teams are just going to bid for the best possible players, and then what's the point of even watching? What's the point of even putting in the effort? That's going to be the question that's going to be amongst a lot of people. Where we're going to lose the sense of the amateurism, which has already been gone, but we're losing the thing that made college football special by continually allowing these numbers to get crazy and crazy. I mean, the idea that they're talking about a $4 million deal, like a Big Ten team that wanted to throw a $4 million 1 year contract to Quinn Ewers. How insane is that for a college kid who very well may not even play because he may get hurt early? Like, what do you do? That's stupid.
Well, here's my thought, and there's some legislation coming down, and the NCAA, I'm sure, will donk that up. But I think the only way to make this, we'll call it quote unquote fair. I mean, life's not fair, but can we
Yeah,
at least make it?
I'm not asking necessarily for fair.
What's the fairest, well, like, what's the fairest thing about professional sports? And I'm going to give you one guess, and if you're wrong, I'm going to jump in.
Go ahead. I really don't know. What are your thoughts?
Salary cap.
Yeah, I don't hate that.
NIL in Texas is a non-disclosure state. Nope. It has to be nationwide. You have to disclose what you're playing, what you're paying, and there's a salary cap. And that is what, and that's one of the only things that's kept at least the NFL intact. Major League Baseball's stupid.
Well, I
Like,
mean, you want to talk about a great example of this. Let's look at the Premier League. Let's look at what freaking Man City's been for the last decade and a half. I mean, that is a team that's literally built off the back of oil money from the Saudis that have just accumulated. And it's led to them being able to literally buy whoever they want and have one of the longest running stints of a
and it's not
championship.
fun.
It's no fun. Everybody gets bored of it.
It's no fun. Like, so I'm
Yeah.
a West Ham fan, and we have crap for ownership. We have dick for money. And the reality is, so for those of you that don't know, in the Premier League, like, there are 20 teams in the league, which means you play 38 times. You play every team home and away.
Right.
Anytime West Ham plays Man City, I'm like, man, can we just tie? Because for those of you non-soccer fans, a tie is a point in the standings. And you're like, man, can we just not tie? Or sometimes you're like, man, can we just not get embarrassed? Like, because goal differential plays a part in this as well in the Premier League.
It does.
Our thought is, man, we're playing Man City. God help us. Can we just not lose by more than three? And it's not fun. All right. And the reality is, and they're trying to reel things in with financial fair play, which is, it's like the NCAA doing NIL, right?
Right.
But the reality as it hits on college football is there's got to be a salary cap and there's got to be a players union, and that's it. And it has to be both. It's not one or the other.
It's
That's it.
both.
And again, that's me. I might be wrong, but I feel like I'm not wrong.
Yeah, but no.
If we want to save the sport we love.
Right, no, I mean, I think a salary cap is going to have to come into play, and I think it needs to be set fairly early. And that way, going forward, you're not going to have these situations where we're literally just going to throw whatever money. Because if you look at what Texas was in the 60s, that's literally what they did. They threw out so many scholarships to players in Texas just to get them to sit on the bench so they weren't playing at Texas A&M. They weren't playing at Tech. They weren't playing at Oklahoma.
Spite scholarships.
Yeah, I mean, that was just a fact of life. They did that for years. And there's a reason why Texas was so good in the 60s. And then all of a sudden, everything came to balance in the 70s. Isn't that funny when they finally incorporated a scholarship limitation? So if you can apply that similar thought process for some kind of salary cap for college football, I mean, that's going to be the best thing I can think of.
Well, and I'm going to counterpoint this right quick and then we'll move on because we
Go.
could spend days on this.
Oh, easy.
If you apply, let's say, sliced bread, 30 million,
Okay.
right? That jackass. So if you say you have $30 million to spend on NIL, if I'm a multi-million dollar realtor and I want to pay this kid $800,000 to come do an ad at an open house, that still falls within NIL, and the NCAA can't stop it. It can only stop the institutional NIL money. And this is where, again, toothpaste back in the tube, it's too late.
Right. It's going to be interesting to see how they bounce around it, what kind of legislation comes out. If the NCAA actually decides they want to grow some teeth, we'll see what happens. It's going to be.
No.
I know.
No.
But
it's like tax loopholes. Even the IRS is inept. Well, you know, the IRS is inept. But man, when you got that kind of money rolling around, it's easy to find loopholes. And that's just kind of the fact of it. And that's what NIL will continue to be. And I just pray it doesn't ruin my second favorite sport.
Yeah, that's exactly my thought. And that's the hope and the prayer. In the meantime, it is playoff time, and we have some picks. I figured, what, first round, we got four games.
Yeah, we have four games. So we're going to pick on the spread.
Correct.
Because I think this is fun. I wrote them in no particular order. So oddly enough, we're starting off with the Sips. Got Clemson at home. Sips are 11.5-point favorites. It's going to be like 65 degrees and partly cloudy, which again, weather, I don't think weather affect, like when it's weather like that, it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
Everybody loves to play football when it's nice.
Yeah. Right. It'll be a nice day in Austin. You know, we're talking 3 p.m. kick.
Relative to a day in Austin, but sure.
Yeah, you know, it'll be a pleasant weather day in Austin.
At least inside the stadium. I got the Sips. I think the Sips are absolutely gonna dog walk Clemson. Now, Dabo always has some arrows in his quiver, but I've got the Sips like dog walking Clemson. So I'm gonna take the Sips cover.
I like Clemson to cover.
All right.
I like Clemson to cover. And the only reason I say that is, once again, who has Texas beat that's ranked? Anybody?
That's fair.
They haven't beat us. I mean, they beat us, sure, but we're not ranked anymore.
Oh, look.
We're their best win on the year.
I win both ways on this.
I get it.
So my thought is, it's at home.
Oh, like, sure. And I think Texas will win, but I think Clemson gives them a fight that's better than 11.5.
So you wouldn't take Clemson outright?
No, but I will say Clemson would cover. That's what I'm saying.
That's fair.
Yeah, I don't think Clemson beats Texas, but I do think Clemson scares Texas. I'll give it that.
What a fine Christmas gift that would be.
That would be, oh man, you know, and honestly, that would just be the icing on the cake for this particular season for me, because once again, Sark will have zero postseason wins as the head coach of Texas, but, you know, he's this big honking dude, right?
Yeah, God bless you. I hope you're right. In case anybody's watching, Michelob Ultra, I appreciate you for the motivation.
All the good motivation. What's your second game?
Hey, you never know. They might pick us up.
They might.
So I've got UT at Ohio State.
The Ohio State, sir. Get it right. Don't forget the. They did trademark it. You might as well use it.
You know, I'm good. So Buckeyes are actually 7.5-point favorites on this. I was shocked at this line.
I am
and it,
too.
And it really hasn't moved. I think it was like 8. It's at 7.5. I was shocked by this line.
Uh-huh.
Because I saw Ohio State play Michigan.
I think we all did.
And I think I said this on social media. I was like, it might be recency bias, but bro, 7.5. I'm taking the balls all day. And
no, twice on Sunday.
Yeah, and we're not picking winners and losers. I think Tennessee beats Ohio State. I'm throwing that out there.
I'm with you. I nothing about Ohio State really stands out
you.
To me. No, yeah. Really. I mean, they yeah, what you lose to Oregon on the road, but then you lose to a, let's call them what they are, an extremely mediocre Michigan team at home. At the end of the season.
Extremely mediocre? Are you like, are you, is Santa watching? Are you trying to be nice?
I'm trying to be very nice. I don't want any coal in my stocking. They're extremely mediocre. So I would say, man, I'll tell you what. Yeah, Tennessee. I like Tennessee in that game.
You know, I like Tennessee to cover, absolutely. But it would not shock me if they won this game.
Yeah, I mean, I like them in the game, much less to cover.
All right, so the Hoosiers are going to South Bend, and the Fighting Irish are 7-point favorites. This sounds it's December. This sounds like a basketball game. I'm not getting Indiana. I'm just not. That might have been the in the play. We good?
We should be all right. Something happened there, but we'll be okay.
Little technical issue there.
Yeah,
But again,
little.
like I said, Indiana at Notre Dame in late December, and it's a 7-point favorite. This sounds like bouncy ball. But I never understood Indiana getting into the playoffs, and I that would be one. I would have picked South Carolina and over Indiana, but I'm also, an idiot. I just, what are you thinking?
Indiana, they did take care of their business to get to this point, but fact is, they lost to Ohio State, who, once again, I said is fairly mediocre in my eyes. And they
Well,
lost.
I think it's a mediocre Ohio State. I think it's fair that we frame that.
Yeah, no, that's a mediocre Ohio State team.
Okay.
Yes, that's a mediocre Ohio State team. And you did not beat them. In fact, you got smoked at your own house. And
Not
I
great,
mean,
bud.
not great. Meanwhile, Notre Dame's been just been rocking and rolling, doing their thing. I mean, there's nothing in this matchup that doesn't tell me that Notre Dame's not going to dog walk them.
If this were in Indiana, or
Maybe.
excuse me, at Indiana,
Yeah, it
pardon
was at Bloomington, sure, but we're in South Bend.
me. First playoff system in the history of mankind. Notre Dame fans don't have any reason not to show up. I don't have a lot of faith in Indiana,
No.
but the weather is going to be terrible. 20s snow, ice. I'm going to take Indiana to cover only because of the weather.
Okay.
No, you know what? No, I'm sorry. Indiana's pass based. Nah, they're quarterback and run. You know what? I'll take IU to cover. No way they beat Notre Dame, but in bad weather, touchdown lines are dangerous.
They are. You're not wrong. But also, I don't really see Indiana hanging. See, that was my deal. I really think Notre Dame is that much better than they are. I
So
really
you're
do.
fighting Irish.
Yeah.
All right. Last one of the bracket. SMU at Penn State. Miserable weather. I'm not even gonna analyze this. Penn State covers 8.5. Miserable weather. Far superior football team, even though I think they're not that good.
Yeah.
I've got Penn State covering 8.5.
I think SMU is going to give them a game, but I don't think they cover. I'm with you. I think it's going to be Penn State.
All right. Real quick pick before any of the brackets start. Who you got to win?
Who do I get to win?
The whole kit and caboodle.
Shit. Oh, man.
You can see how much we prepare when I just drop bombs on him. I'm taking Oregon to win a national championship this year.
I'll go Georgia.
Well, and I think that's a championship game either way.
I think that's probably a championship game. I will say if the team I'm pulling for in the playoff, the team I would like to see win the playoff is Arizona State. And that's
Oh,
because,
same. Oh, same.
and that's primarily because one, dad is an alum. Two, Sparky is one of the most badass mascots in college football. I will not take any arguments on this. I love Sparky. And three, I mean, come on, it's Arizona State. I mean, they're just fun. Why not?
Well, it's fun because they'll get to beat Texas, so I think there's that's number four.
Well, that's assuming they get past Clemson.
Bro, if that happens.
I'm telling you, like I'm saying, who they played, who they beat.
Would you put that evil on me, Bobby?
They beat us, but that's not saying much this year. Anyway,
Questions. Social media questions.
Yes, we have a few questions from our fine folks in social. So let's get into those real
And
quick.
speaking of dropping bombs on how much we prepare, I've got some questions for Rob that hopefully we don't go too far. This might be a 9-hour podcast if we keep going. But
No,
all
we'll keep
right,
going.
fire
All right.
away.
Number one, in your opinion, which playoff games are you thinking are going to be the most competitive? least competitive, and the best environment. This is from Ryan Perez.
Best environment will probably be Notre Dame because they love the snow in Missouri. And I think they absolutely know they're going to dog walk Indiana. I picked IU to be there, but the problem for me is Notre Dame and Ohio State, I get the shoe and all this other crap and touchdown Jesus. They're not consistently a great home atmosphere. But if Penn State doesn't do a whiteout,
They are.
yeah,
They've already confirmed it.
I'll take Penn State with the whiteout in the snow. You won't be able to see anything.
So I would say probably, I mean, if we're talking just in stadium environment, I think Indiana Notre Dame is going to be really good just because that is an in-state rivalry that doesn't happen often. And so there's a lot of bad blood there historically. So I'm really excited for that one. I think Tennessee fans will bring up the environment for Ohio State. I think that one will be.
Now, in stadium, are you talking about in the stands? Yeah, Tennessee fans are
That's
going
what we're talking about. We're talking about the
to,
environment.
like, no, I'm no, I'm talking about they're going to specifically punch Ohio State fans in the face. So we're talking about like Raiders style, where you need a jail in, in the stadium. I think Tennessee, Ohio State has a great potential to be some of the worst viral videos we've ever seen in our life. But I'll take the white out of Penn State.
Fair enough.
In the snow.
Now, which game do you think is going to be the most competitive? Which one do you think will be the least competitive?
I think Tennessee, Ohio State will be the most competitive. Ohio
Fair.
State hadn't seen anybody like Tennessee. Tennessee doesn't give a shit. I think the Sips are going to dog walk Clemson. I hate to
Fair.
say it. It's not going to be fun. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think most competitive is going to be Ohio State, Tennessee. I think the least competitive one actually might be Penn State, SMU, just because there's a chance that if Penn State starts walking away from them and the environment's really getting to some of the SMU players, it's gonna wear on them.
Yeah, there's not a single SMU alum with all the money in the world that understands how much it will snow in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we'll see how the weather looks that day. It's gonna be cold. We know that much for
They're
sure.
all yeah, they're all projected in the 20s minus the SIP game.
Yeah, it's gonna be so fun. Jive Coach G had another question for us.
Oh boy.
Okay. Yeah, I think this one's primarily geared towards me. But top new Texas country artists that you're listening to right now. The title race in the Premier League, Forrester coming for you, Rob. And Merry Christmas from the Family. It is one of my all-time favorite Robert Earl Keen songs. What is the craziest thing that you've been told to go get at a holiday party that somebody forgot?
Boy, that's three in a row. So I'll let you start with the first one with like the newcomer. Because
Sure.
I'm generally like when I catch on to newcomers, they're not quite newcomers anymore because people are
Sure.
like, dude, you need to check this guy out.
Yeah, I would say of some of the younger guys that I've been keeping up with, in fact, Logan Ryan Band. They're quite excellent. They're a young group from kind of South Central Texas, but they've opened for us a few times. Good kids. They work hard. They bust their butts, and I'm really, really big fan of what they do. So I'm excited to see them grow.
How about ones that you haven't worked with? Don't get one. Pick one you haven't worked with, you've only heard.
So a band that's kind of, I mean, they've blown up past us, and they're
Or
absolutely,
artist or band or whatever.
this band blew up past us, and they've been excellent. That's Old 60. They are fantastic. So if you have not listened to Old 60, I would highly, highly recommend checking them out. They're a phenomenal band. That's
Actually,
yeah. So yeah, they're absolutely great within our scene. Good guys. Quick little aside. As a throwback, somebody I got to go see in downtown Bryan the other day was Sean McConnell. I'm not sure. Sean McConnell, who's he was so good. It was one of those guys. He was very
No,
prominent.
he's great.
He's incredible.
So great. His live shows, he's look, he translates to album fantastically,
Yeah.
but his live shows are like, come
Fun.
on, like,
They're
come
so
on.
fun. I was really glad I got to see them, as well as Olivia Wolf, who was the woman who opened for them. She was great too. So getting to see both of
Wow.
them
Yeah, I
was
haven't heard her yet. I've heard she's good.
She's badass. She and so nice. Such a nice person. That was a really nice deal.
All right, what's the Premier League garbage question about him
So
thinking Nottingham Forest are coming for the title?
he said, just your thoughts on the title race.
It's Liverpool and it's everybody else.
Right
Not
now.
Nottingham, if Forest can stay on the path that they're on, which again is like one of the hardest things on the planet to do in the Premier League, right?
Right.
This when you're a lower club, like staying on that path. But they could be this year's Villa. I could see them qualifying for Europa or something, or even Champions League. So I think Forest has got a shot.
Yeah.
But boy, there's a lot of football left.
There is. And looking at Liverpool right now, yes, you're top of the league. You're one game in hand over everybody behind you. And Chelsea's two games short. I mean, 2 points short, but Liverpool wins that next match.
Elsa.
Yeah, you're doing your thing, old Chelsea. You've been
So
awesome.
here's a fun thing that I don't think a lot of non-London clubs fans understand. The West Ham has a whole chant about Chelsea planting the blue flag up their ass.
Yeah.
So yeah, we West Ham is fun because we don't like anybody in London
Thank
except for Palace. And we've talked about this. Palace is like they're like the tech of the, you're like, yeah, I know you want to have a rivalry, but
Right, 'cause I mean, virtually everybody has their rivals, right? I mean, you've got the North London Derby, you've got the West London Derby, but West Ham's big rival is Millwall, and Millwall is typically down a league.
I would say our big rivalry is Tottenham. Since Millwall's been down for so long, it
Right.
doesn't matter that we don't beat them; we hate them.
Right.
But West Ham kind of has that. We just kind of hate everybody in London again, except for Crystal Palace.
Right. And Palace is just kind of
You
doing
don't
their
throw them a bone, like come on.
yeah, you know. But
Hey,
yeah.
we looked. Hey, we looked. The result wasn't great, but Bournemouth are top table. We looked like a different football club yesterday. All right, what was this? You had a third question?
So the third one is just Merry Christmas from the Family is one of his all-time favorite Robert Earl Keane songs. But in regards to what is the craziest thing that you've been told to go get for a holiday party that somebody forgot to grab?
Man, I don't know that I have one of those because I'm normally the guy that makes sure I bring so much extra that like we have everything we need.
Right. Yeah. So I haven't had to make very many trips around about Christmas to go pick up anything, typically because we're out at the house there in Tatum, which is where my grandmother lives. And we are, mind you, it's a town of 750 people.
Yeah, there's no run into the store.
And you're living 10 miles outside of town. So if you want to bring anything, you better make sure you got it. So we've got
Yeah,
that.
and I grew up with Christmas parties in the suburbs, but I gotta be honest, I think we all did a really good job. I mean, I've had to go grab beer or like butter or mustard, but I've never had a crazy did anybody forget thing because I generally come really, really prepared. So I would love for Jive Coach G though to comment because if he asks the question, then he's got an answer.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
But by all
we
means, yeah, comment below. Once we post this, I'm curious what your craziest thing was.
yeah. So you had a
So
couple of questions that you wanted to fire at me, right?
I do. And these are going to be quick fire because we're running along.
Yeah, that's fine.
Or we're running long, quite frankly. So I posted this on social media the other day and I got a whole bunch of backlash because I started a poll, which by the way, never do that. Because apparently, no matter how many people you include in the poll, you will leave somebody out. So, favorite. And this is crooner, Christmas crooner, right? So you got Bublé, you got Sinatra, you got Bing Crosby, you got Johnny. I see somebody said Johnny Mathis. I'm like, Johnny Mathis sold a lot of Christmas albums. I've never pictured Johnny Mathis as a Christmas crooner, right? Like Mel Torme. Oh, hell yeah. Who's your favorite? It can be, current or past. Who's your favorite Christmas crooner?
I honestly would agree with that first one you said. Michael Bublé, honestly, is one of those guys. And he is so incredibly good at everything he
Oh,
does.
right.
He can do the crooner thing, but he can get incorporated with other styles and bands and stuff. Like he's just an extremely talented individual.
I'm
So,
a sucker for big bands.
yeah, and yeah, fair enough. Big bands are great.
While I love Michael Bublé, and For some weird reason, he's literally right in my range, so I get to, sing along with him when I've got him on Spotify.
Oh yeah.
Man, I'm still a Bing Crosby guy. I
And
always
Bing
have
Crosby.
been. Yeah, I mean, being like the movie. Okay, we'll get into this. Favorite old Christmas movie has to be like pre-2000.
Pre-2000.
Yeah, so I gave you some younger options, right? Because I mean, you have the Griswold, but you have White Christmas and like Miracle on 34th Street. Favorite Christmas movie?
Oh yeah. I mean, Miracle on 34th Street's great, as is Wonderful Life. You know what? I'll give you this one. Honestly, Home Alone.
The original.
OG Home Alone
Okay.
is very good.
Right on. Remember when he's doing the tree, like the train and dancing and with the strings and everything to keep him out of the house? The original Home Alone's elite.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal. I
Get
mean,
the
come.
animals. Just leave it at the door and get the hell out of here.
Now,
So,
I have a question on along those lines. I will ask you in a minute, but go ahead.
yeah, hold on. So, White Christmas with Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye is absolutely elite. The original Miracle on 34th Street, same vein. Lampoons, love it.
Classic. Scrooged, if you have, is so good if you haven't seen
Scrooge,
it. Oh yeah.
almost every single movie about Scrooge is fantastic. But
Yeah.
Scrooge with Bill Murray is a modern classic.
It's a good one.
Bro, A Christmas Story, you'll shoot your eyes out.
My dad hates that movie so much.
Did he shoot an eye out? Like, what's the problem with it?
He just hates that movie. Like, if it's on TV, he's like, change it.
We
Just that
watched the 24-hour marathon of it. We do.
one. He won't do it. He refuses.
All right, what's your question?
All right, so in a similar vein, what non-Christmas movies do you like watching around Christmas time? What are some like just things that maybe your family
So,
likes to get into?
what you're trying to do is say is Die Hard a Christmas
No,
movie. That's what
I wasn't going there.
we're not doing that at all.
Because it is.
It's not.
It is.
It's a Christmas movie in the same vein that you know what? I'm not getting into this. Christmas. Oh, hold on. Movies around Christmas
Well, like movies you
that
like to
aren't
watch.
Christmas movies.
Yeah, movies you
Like,
like
so when
to
I need a
watch.
break.
Yes, movies that you like to watch around this time of year that are not Christmas movies. Maybe just good stories, good family stuff. Like, for example, they'll do like the Harry Potter marathons, this time of year. And people love to watch Harry Potter this time of year because there is Christmas incorporation throughout those movies, right?
Okay, so I got one for you because I was sitting here just I had my hand in my face trying to figure out I have no idea, and then it dawned on me. So they re-released all the Chris or all the original Star Wars movies in theaters around Christmas when I was growing up.
Right.
So Star Wars, the original Star Wars episodes 4, 5, and 6, when they're on, around Christmas, and for some reason I feel like I need a break. Although when I take a break from Christmas movies, I just go to Christmas music, but I'm Kris Kringle, if you will. But I'll watch Star Wars, and oddly enough, I'll actually watch. One thing I've found myself is a bunch of like animated Bob's Burgers or
Sure.
Mike and Molly or oh, the one with Leah Remini. He's a truck driver. King of Queens,
Sure.
and what I'll find is around the Christmas time they'll run all their Christmas. Verse like all their Christmas episodes.
Yeah.
So I, but generally, if I don't want to watch it, maybe I'll just turn on music.
Fair enough.
Last question. Oh, do you have one for me?
Yeah, well, I was gonna give you my answer. Lord of the
Oh, crap.
Rings.
Yeah, shoot.
Lord of the Rings. Oh, I'll watch all three Lord of the Rings movies around Christmas every year. I love
Well,
it.
I'll watch those 12 months a year. So
Yeah,
that's one of those things where I don't need an excuse to.
and normally I don't, but I love making it a point like I'm going to watch them at this time of year. So last week I watched all three Extendeds because I went ahead and got them on, Amazon Prime and was like, eh, just have fun with
There
it.
you go.
Just watch them. Enjoy it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Went and saw Gladiator 2.
How was that?
Thought we were.
Was it the best movie ever?
I thought it was really good, and I still think Gladiator 1's better.
Absolutely.
I thought the storylines were unfortunately predictable.
Yeah.
Except for one, but I won't spoil if you haven't seen it.
Okay.
Except for one, I was like, oh shit. But last question, then we'll close this up and wish y'all a very Merry Christmas. Favorite Christmas gift? When? What? Why? Oh boy. Oh my.
Favorite Christmas present.
You ever received? Not that you gave, because I love, like, I think as you get older, the beauty of Christmas
Yeah.
is watching people open your gifts and them enjoy that you put thought into it. So like, this is easy for me though, but so I didn't realize this is not as easy for others. You don't have one?
It's tough because it's like every year you've got something else that you're kind of looking into. And I mean, I would say the one that's, I'll say the one that probably surprised me the most in my youth was getting a go-kart.
That's awesome.
I got a go-kart when I was like, I don't know, 9, 10. And
Okay, surprise is good.
it was sick. We were out, and so we lived in White City, which is about 20 miles south of Carlsbad, literally in the middle of nowhere. So you can roll around on a go-kart and just drive around, have a time. And we drove around on that go-kart a ton. It was a lot of fun. That was probably like the coolest surprise gift I'd ever gotten. Second to that, I'll call it my honorable mention. A couple years ago, my parents bought me a pair of Luke Casey boots, and they were maroon and black gator. And I was not anticipating them buying those either. And I was like, you did not just buy these boots for me. And I put them on, they fit great. They are very much my special occasion boots. So, like when I played shows here in College Station, I'll wear them. If I'm at a wedding, special events, that kind of thing.
And you know what the beauty of that is? Every time you put them on, you'll remember that memory.
Exactly.
All right, hold on. This is going to be really weird. I'm going to say it out loud. I need you to time this out because I'm going to come back and show you something.
Okay.
Oh,
Well,
yeah. Yeah,
quick
yeah.
pause here. What do you
All right,
got?
so this is going to tie directly in to one of the questions I asked. Well, like your favorite Christmas movie, right? So I grew up. I'm old, right? We get this. I mean, I'm like super old, but you and I have an age gap here, right?
There's a bit of an age gap, yes.
But I grew up watching The Christmas Story and loving it. But when I grew up watching it, I wasn't young enough to have a BB gun. Yeah. And so there was, I'm gonna try not to get choked up about this. So one Christmas came down and I'd asked for a BB gun. My dad has basically said, you know, when you hit this age, we'll talk about it, right? So I'd ask for it, ask for it, ask for it, ask for it, ask for it. And just like in true Christmas Story, the movie form, he hid it and like wrapped it and kind of like shoved it deep behind these old couch cushions, right? So you couldn't see it. And just like the movie, hid my BB gun. And that scene still chokes me up today. I'm fortunate enough to still have my father, but it still chokes me up because, like, I get it. And so, my
Yeah.
Red Ryder BB gun is the greatest gift I have ever or will ever receive. And this is literally like, this is it, man. This is my Red Ryder. And it's so special to me. It's one of those things, like, I've thought about damn near framing. And no matter how many times I've watched the movie, I can't stop laughing about Scott Farkas and you know all the other fun stuff like you know Ovaltine, a crummy
Yeah.
commercial, son of a bitch, like that rang out like a bell in my house because we didn't use that kind of phrasing. My parents were like, eh. But yeah, so my BB gun, my Red Ryder BB gun that still works, I might add,
Nice.
still loaded, still got the leather straps hanging off. And so that's my the greatest Christmas gift I ever or will ever receive.
Hell yeah.
So,
That's awesome. Well,
all right, I'm dog sitting and this little stinker is getting feisty.
All right. Well, if you guys don't already follow us on our socials, be sure to do so. That's Rob the Slapper on both Instagram and X. Be sure to follow Roy May on both as well, as well as the Red Ass Podcast. We appreciate you guys so much for listening in. And of course, we want to say a very Merry Christmas to all of you out there. And I hope you guys have a wonderful holiday season. Get a chance to spend with family. And of course, if you need somebody to reach out to, be sure to reach out to either one of us. We are way okay with chatting with y'all at this time of year and
Holler.
all that other good stuff. But I am Rob White. This is Roy May. We are the Red Ass Podcast. Take care. Gig'em.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year. Well, maybe we'll do one after Christmas. Either way, y'all have a very Merry Christmas.
Yes, take care.